Hello, and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Peace Be With You, and to the sixth in a series of episodes called, simply enough, Why Lutheran? I'm Pastor E.B. from Epiphany Lutheran Church in Bastrop, Texas, located on the Colorado River about 30 miles southeast of Austin. To find out more about us, please stop by our virtual home at epiphanybastrop.org. We hope that this series of episodes will help folks, even those among us who aren't sure why we're Lutherans, to become more familiar with Christians who call themselves Lutheran and not the other way around. This episode begins to unpack why we Lutherans have two sacraments, Holy Baptism and Holy Communion, which we also call the Lord's Supper, and why we call them sacraments rather than ordinances or rites, as in some other Christian settings. By comparison, the Roman Catholic Church has, at last count, 7 sacraments. The Orthodox Church has 13. In the next episode of Why Lutheran, we'll look at the Lord's Supper. Pastor Joel Otto, a professor at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, in an article posted to the website of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod about our Lutheran understanding of baptism, wrote, "Most American Protestant churches have views of baptism different than that of Lutherans. Some see baptism as little more than a dedication ceremony where the parents are promising to raise their child as a Christian. They don't think baptism has the power to do anything. Others think infants should not be baptized. Still others believe that baptism is something believers do to show their commitment to God. They turn baptism from gospel into law. That's not how true Lutherans view baptism because that's not what the Bible teaches. In his small catechism, Martin Luther wrote that baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. He could say this because the Bible says that in baptism God forgives our sins. We can look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and Acts 22, verse 16, and saves us. We can look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, as well as Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Luther wrote that baptism is a gracious water of life and a washing of rebirth by the Holy Spirit. He could say that because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is given in baptism. We can look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and that through baptism the Spirit works rebirth and renewal. We can look at Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Baptism seems so simple, a splash of water and a few words. Those who deny the power of baptism often point to the fact that it is just an outward ceremony. In the small catechism, Luther rightly points out that it is certainly not the water that does such things, but God's word, which is in and with the water, and faith, which trusts this word used with the water. God's word is powerful. It was powerful enough to call the universe into existence. It is powerful enough to give the spiritual and eternal blessings God promises through baptism. And we can find that in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. God turns toward himself in baptism. He brings us into his family. Baptism is the basis of our relationship with all other people in the body of Christ, that is, the church. According to Christ's command in the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, the church baptizes in the name of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptisms have taken place in the name of Christ, but there is no reason to depart from the words of Christ in his commissioning of the church to make disciples through baptism. For we receive our names and our new identities as God's children from him whose name is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are incorporated into Christ's death and resurrection and thereby into the Father's family as the Holy Spirit effects his regenerating and renewing work in baptism. We confess the entire work of God when we baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christians have sometimes disagreed among themselves about the manner in which baptism is to be performed. Some have insisted that the Greek word for baptizing meant to dip, and that the baptized should therefore be immersed in the water of baptism. It is true that the original meaning of the Greek verb baptizo involved dipping or immersing. But by the time of Christ, the word was used much more generally for any application of water. For instance, tables were baptized when they were wiped off with a wet cloth. The kind of washing that the Pharisees expected Christ would do before dinner did not involve immersion of his entire body, but there the word baptize is used for the usual washing your hands of Jewish daily life. The mode of the application of the water is not the important thing. God's word with the water is. Immersion reminds us more powerfully of our burial with Christ. Pouring water over the forehead suffices, however. Water and the word go together to save. Because some Christians do not view baptism as God's action, an event in which he is working, but rather see it as a human response to God, they do not believe that infants should be baptized. However, the overwhelming majority of believers throughout church history have baptized infants for good biblical reasons. More than being people who are part of a nation, infants are to be baptized because they have a need for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible does not speak of any age of innocence or any time in life when infants and children are not sinners and not responsible for their sins. Just the opposite. Scripture speaks of people being conceived and born in sin. King David spoke for the entire human race when he confessed, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me," in Psalm 51, verse 5. Jesus reiterated that truth when he informed Nicodemus that flesh gives birth to flesh in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 6. In other words, sinful parents have sinful children. A final reason for baptizing infants is that the Bible reveals to us that children and infants can believe. Passages like Matthew, chapter 18, verse 6, Luke, chapter 18, verses 15, 16, and 17, and 2 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 15, provide proof. As Jesus makes clear in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3, to become a member of the Holy Christian Church, a person must be brought to faith by the Holy Spirit. And because, as Psalm 51, verse 5 tells us, all people are sinners from the time they are in the womb, it is imperative that all people go through such a conversion by the Holy Spirit. Paul reminds us that faith comes through hearing in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. While we cannot look into people's hearts to see if they really believe the message of the Scriptures, upon their confession of faith, they are admitted into membership in a local congregation. But what about children? Scripture answers this question for us. Jesus commanded his followers to teach and baptize all nations in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. If an adult claims to believe the message of salvation by God's grace through faith, then the Lutheran Church baptizes that person as commanded by Jesus. The Bible also promises that baptism works salvation through the washing away of sin and the creation of a new person in the heart of the person baptized. See Titus chapter 3, verse 5, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. If baptism has this power in an adult, it certainly has the same power in children, regardless of age. Baptizing a child, therefore, creates the faith that is necessary to become a member of the Holy Christian Church, even if the child is not able to confess that faith in a manner adults can understand. In reality, we do not know how an adult can be converted and believe because adults are no different than infants by nature. Neither can comprehend accepting the forgiveness of sins nor contribute to the formation of a new person within their hearts, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 5. The message of the Bible is not reasonable, so it is not with the intellect that the adult grasps the message, but with the heart, which can only be changed by the Holy Spirit, as we're told in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. While adults may be able to articulate their faith once it's formed, they still do not understand it. In this way, an adult is no different from a child. In the same way that a person does not have to be able to explain the way the human body works to be physically alive, so a person does not have to be able to explain how faith is formed and exists in the heart to be spiritually alive. Jesus, in fact, demands that everyone have the faith of a little child, because a little child is willing to accept what he or she cannot understand. To refuse to baptize infants and young children when the Bible says that baptism works faith is to expose them to the risk of death as unbelievers before they can grasp enough to verbally assent to the saving message of the Scriptures. The Lutheran Church has historically referred to baptism as a sacrament. Like the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion, the other sacrament, baptism was instituted by Christ himself, includes the use of an earthly element, water, connected with God's Word, and works the forgiveness of sins. While there are similarities between Lutherans and Roman Catholics in the outward administration of baptism, using water in the name of the triune God, baptizing infants, baptizing only one time in life, there are significant differences. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that baptism, in forgiving original sin, removes the sinful nature and provides forgiveness only for those sins that were committed prior to baptism. In addition, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that baptism gives individuals the power to cooperate with God in their salvation. Lutherans believe that baptism is a gracious water of life and a washing of rebirth by the Holy Spirit, during which the guilt of original sin is forgiven, but the sinful nature still remains. Lutherans believe that conversion, baptism, and the Lord's Supper are pure gospel and things God does for man, but some other Protestant church bodies, such as Baptists, think differently, that man does something good for God when he accepts Jesus as his Savior, when he gets baptized as an act of obedience to God, or when he memorializes the death of the Redeemer by partaking of the Lord's Supper. Any Christian can baptize another person, although pastors usually do the baptizing, standing in Christ's stead as representatives of the whole Christian church. In reality, it is the Holy Spirit that performs the baptism, and the person applying the water and speaking the words are only human agents, whose own sincerity of faith has no effect whatsoever on the validity of the baptism. Lutheran congregations accept as valid baptisms performed by the members of any church body that confesses the Trinity. And we Lutherans ask, how much water is necessary for a baptism? As the Greek word used in the New Testament for baptizing means to wash with water, Lutherans then don't require immersion for baptism. This episode is part of our Peace Be With You podcast, brought to you by Epiphany Lutheran Church in Bastrop, Texas. To find out more about us, please visit us online at epiphanybastrop.org. You can reach us by email at peacebewithyoupodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Pastor EB saying so long, and peace be with you.